It's the Culture Podcast with Keith and Matt. I'm Matt.
And I'm Keith.
Hello. How's everybody doing today?
We're back.
Who'd have thought?
We did two in the same month.
Yes, it's pretty amazing, but we're happy to be back. We're excited to be back, and we think we got some good stuff for you this week.
Absolutely, and for any of you wondering, I am sure you are wondering, we had Chinese food tonight instead of pizza.
We certainly did.
So it could be a whole different show.
It's a much gassier show, I think.
For those of you who are listening for the second time, the Culture Popcast is kind of just Matt and I sitting across a table from each other, trying to entertain each other, and in the process, you, about things that we see in the world of pop culture, TV, movies, whatever else we can think of.
We say it's pop culture, but really it's only the things that we like. So if you have things that you like that you want us to talk about, just email us at, what's the address, Keith?
It's culturepop@2centscorp.com.
It's way too complicated for me.
Yes, because we're a part of the culture, we're a part of the 2 Cents Corporation now.
What is the 2 Cents Corporation?
That's the websites that we talked about last time.
Oh, I thought that was the evil conglomerate from RoboCop, but I was wrong.
Sometimes one and the same.
Oh, good.
Because the whole point of a 2 Cents Corporation is that we want people to chime in with what they have to say. So Matt and I, of course, give our own 2 cents this whole time that you'll be listening today. And we hope that you'll do the same in response.
Absolutely.
So you can go to the website. It's culturepopcast.wordpress.com.
You had to think about that, didn't you?
I did. I said, wait a minute. We haven't bought the domain yet to point to it. Right. So it's culturepopcast.wordpress.com. You can go to that website. That's where you can listen to it. You can download it to iTunes now. We're on iTunes.
Very nice.
Very fancy. I like the iTunes. And the nice thing about it, it's free.
It is free. Yes. You just have to subscribe.
That's right. And you can write down, you know, do a right-click save. You can save it right there on your computer if you want. And also, you can leave us comments, and the email address is there. So any way you want to get in touch with us, please, please do.
It makes us feel good about ourselves.
We'd like to know that we have friends in the world, at least out there in the internets.
Or at least people who don't know us like us. Because I think the people who know us don't like us.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. We don't really like ourselves half the time.
There you go.
Okay. So we are going to talk about a bunch of different topics today. We will try to keep it right around an hour. I think we're going to shoot for. My dad fell asleep last time, so we'll try to keep it a little bit shorter this time. But it's good. It helps you pass the time in your car, at your office, whatever you need to do. So, Matt. We're gonna start a little section here to start. It's called the 2 Cent Topics.
Right.
Yes, because if nothing else, this podcast should be a plug for the website, the2cents.com.
I agree.
Which has all kinds of information about television and all that. And what's pop culture without television?
Nothing. It's right. Absolutely nothing.
Right, I agree.
It's music and fashion and
right. So
politics.
So in the last podcast we talked about, we said a little something about every single show that got canceled.
Yes.
At the end of the 2008-2009 season.
It was very sad.
It was. And one of the ones we brought up was My Name is Earl. And we were still waiting to hear if maybe it could be saved by another station.
Right. It was thinking about going to cable, wasn't it?
It was. And this week alone, they found out that they might be going to TBS.
Right.
Which already runs their reruns.
Is that cable?
It is. It's basic cable, I think.
Oh. Don't judge it.
It still exists.
Just because
TBS
basic.
Very funny.
Yes.
However, TBS passed.
Ooh.
The Greg Garcia, the producer of the show, just couldn't work it out with TBS, and so therefore, there is no more. My Name is Earl.
Oh, well, I'm sure somebody's going to miss it.
Farewell to My Name is Earl.
I like Jason Lee, but I never. I don't know.
Somewhere it's, out there, people are worried about it.
Just never worked for me. So. I guess if you're sad to see it go, we sympathize with you.
Another topic I wanted to talk about, which actually isn't on the 2 cents, but I wanted to bring it up anyway because I went with Shirley.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought this was a
2 cents. But when have we ever stuck the topic?
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
That's the joy.
Right.
It makes the people keep listening because they don't know where we're going.
And when have I ever been organized in my life? I don't know. So.
Truth.
I apologize. I ruined your flow. Keep going.
So our buddy Shirley, who hasn't seen a lot of movies in his life, he and I went and saw Star Trek. Now, this is my second time I've seen Star Trek in movie theaters. And he leans to me at one point, and this is the only reason I want to even bring it up now. He leans to me about halfway through the movie, and he says, "This is what the first three Star Wars could have been."
Silence.
That was good. That was a good line.
Yeah. You know what? how do you even begin? I've been so like frustrated with George Lucas and what he's done ever since he's decided that he was going to do episode one. And I was one of those crazy ones who waited in line for like,
oh,
I don't know, 18 hours in Manhattan and saw it at the Ziegfeld. And it was like a huge experience. And then, you know, came out of the first movie and tried to, you know, be an apologist for Lucas. And, oh, this could, you know, Naboo's going to have cloning facilities and this is going to lead into that. And none of it. I mean, none of it happened.
Nope. But so anyway, you saw at least most of Star Trek.
I did see most of Star Trek, yes.
And I saw it twice, and I thoroughly enjoyed it both times.
Yeah,
and I'm not at all a Star Trek. I don't think I've seen any of the movies other than Generations.
I guess I was a fan of the even numbered movies. That's the way it kind of worked. Wrath of Khan is a classic, and then I even liked when I was growing up that fourth one where they saved the whales, and that seemed appropriate at the time, and. I just thought that J.J. Abrams was so smart. He really kind of emotionally connected you to the story right out of the gate with the first scene. And I won't ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it. But I think that was a huge, huge important part of the storytelling was to, whether you like Star Trek or not, to make you emotionally attached to these people. And I think he did a really good job of opening it up that way.
And Siler was really good as Spock. The guy who plays Siler on Heroes.
He's an actor.
Yes.
He's acting.
Yes, but he was good at Spock. I can't say his name. It's got a Q in it.
Quinto?
Something to that effect.
Zachary Quinto?
Yeah.
He's an actor, though.
But, yeah.
He should be good, right?
No. There's many, 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 many people who aren't.
I thought my favorite part of that was, and I don't remember his name, it's Urban or something. The guy who played Bones, the guy from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I thought he was the best character. I thought he nailed Bones completely.
And that's what she said. But the thing is that...
Easy.
He did a straight-up impersonation of DeForest Kelly, who played Bones in the TV series, in the movies. But it was done so well and with such earnesty.
Yep.
That it was absolutely, you could buy into it.
Yeah.
Simon Pegg was hilarious.
As always.
They didn't bring him in, though, early enough.
No. Well, you can't get enough Simon Pegg.
No. But, so we talked about Star Trek, and we talked about Heroes, and we talked about Star Wars. Now get this. I'm actually bringing things back around, Matt.
All three
of these are going to combine. Are you ready for this?
I probably not. Is there a seatbelt in this chair?
News came out this week that on Heroes, they just cast Ray Park Jr., now, anyone who doesn't know the name Ray Park Jr.
Is that the guy who sang the theme to Ghostbusters?
No. I think that's Ray Parker Jr.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is coming out. The third Ghostbusters they're working on.
Yeah, hold your breath.
Yeah, writers from The Office are doing it.
We'll see.
But Ray Park Jr. was Darth Maul.
Oh, okay.
So, and he played Toad in the X-Men movie.
Right.
But he's going to be on Heroes now next season, which begs the question, does anyone still watch Heroes?
Oh, good.
Do you watch Heroes?
I gave up about 4 or 5 episodes into this season. I just stopped watching.
No, as soon as Hero himself went back in time to fight...
That was last season.
...some samurai guy.
That was last season.
I was like, done. I'm done.
So you were gone last season.
Mm-hmm.
Last season was, I don't know, in my opinion, I'm sure... Everybody likes different things, but for me, it really, the first season was so interesting and so good, and we were following these characters and the storyline, and then it felt like in season two, they just gave up on that storyline and gave us new characters, and it was really hard to care about any of that crap. It was almost confusing.
And season one all led us to them coming together.
Yes.
Which is always a fun thing for me. I love it
Justice League.
Yes, exactly. I love it when all kinds of different things come. Which is, I think, why I like The Replacements. We talked about this last week.
Okay.
Because Gene Hackman, at the beginning, picks all these weird people from all these different races of life.
Absolutely.
And puts them all together and makes this winning team. Because you gotta have heart.
You do have to have heart. Don't sing, though.
I won't. In other casting news for shows that... used to be very popular.
I think this one's
exciting.
No one
watches anymore.
I think this is exciting. If
24 has added two big names. The first is Freddie Prinze Jr.
Nice!
Of She's All That fame.
Mrs. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Mr. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, don't get confused now. That's one. But the other signing.
Oh, I'm sorry, before you get to the other signing.
Yeah, more about Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah, when I say nice,
yeah,
you may have misinterpreted me. I really meant boo.
Was there sarcasm?
Yes.
That was laced in sarcasm?
Yes.
The guy who played Fred in the Scooby-Doo movies doesn't do it for you?
It just doesn't work for me. I like the CGI dog better.
Ooh, that's tough. You know what? In Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, they do the mystery team.
Yes.
The dog's voice was done by Mark Hamill.
Excellent.
Yeah, a little piece of trivia for you.
Well done, Mark. Yes. Well done.
Yes. But the other piece of casting news for 24 is that they've signed up Katie Sackhoff.
Wow.
Who we talked last week about Battlestar Galactica bowing out and saying goodbye.
Right.
And she played Starbuck on that.
I read a little bit about that, and here's my one concern. I think they're trying to make her like a systems analyst or something like that.
Right.
Now, she kicks ass.
Right.
So why not let her kick ass?
You don't think she will?
I'm hoping. That's my concern.
Because they already have Chloe.
Yes, but they added like Janine Garofalo this year to do the same thing that Chloe did. And I was thinking to myself, it's such a waste of her.
Right.
First of all, she's not being funny, which, you know, she should be.
Right.
So anyways, 24 was a tough season to get through. Yeah. So I hope they let her do
Will you what try she's it again? At. Will you try it again now that they put Katie Sackhoff on there?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I will. My TiVo will do it.
Okay, good, good. Moving right along, do you watch the show Dexter? You enjoy
Dexter? I do watch Dexter. I'm very excited by Dexter.
They've put in a new nemesis for Dexter.
A creepy, creepy nemesis.
Yes, Mr. John Lithgow.
Yes, you don't get much more creepy than that, man.
No, and in one of the things I was reading about him, they said you might remember him most from his role on, what was it, Third Rock from the Sun?
Yes.
Is that really what you remember John Lithgow
from? No, first of all, Footloose.
Harry and the Hendersons?
Harry and the Hendersons, yes. Ricochet with Denzel Washington, where
Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah, no.
With Puce Pops, Dustin Hoff, no.
No.
All right, not Dustin Hoff, Dudley Moore. I get those two confused.
Oh yes.
At least I didn't say Gary Sinise.
No. So I think, like I was saying, the movie Ricochet with Denzel Washington was really kind of an interesting, really dark character that he played, and I know that he's going to be like the sociopath on the show, other than Dexter, so
right because they need to
right, so it should be pretty interesting. Mark C. Hall, who plays Dexter, I guess he's been nominated a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I guess here's the section where I gripe about the Emmys and the Golden Globes again.
Again,
how do they not nominate this man, especially after seeing all of his work on 6 Feet Under and then this work on Dexter, which is really like,
isn't it Michael?
What did I call
him? Something I don't know.
Michael C. Hall.
Yeah,
that's his name. If I got it wrong, I apologize, Mr. Hall.
I'm not talking
about Anthony Michael.
Oh.
He deserves recognition. The work it's got depth to it. Nothing's on the surface.
Did you say death?
Depth.
Oh.
I don't make those bad puns.
I'm worried.
I leave them
I almost you. Put a stop to this whole thing.
No. So that's exciting news just because I thought Jimmy Smits was really good on it last season. It was an interesting choice to let Dexter become vulnerable by finding a partner in what he does. And if you haven't seen Dexter, I would absolutely go out and rent all of the seasons of it because it's great. Okay. It's really great stuff.
I have two tidbits for you, Matt. Two did you see it moments that happened.
Why don't you start with the second one first?
The second one first?
No, okay. No. Go the other way.
Go for two for one.
Please.
One, not one, it's two.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Tony Awards.
Yes.
Were last Sunday.
Yes, and I'm sure none of you watched.
No, nobody watched. However, I am also sure that everyone watched what we're about to talk about on YouTube at least 700 or 800 times.
Right, God bless the YouTube.
The opening number from the Tonys this year had pretty much a little piece of a musical number for every musical that's currently on Broadway,
right.
I would say.
Okay.
So we had Liza Minnelli, we had Elton John. We had Dolly Parton was singing. The cast of Shrek, which I loved that show. People should go see Shrek.
Sure, the audience was. Or you could just watch the movie.
No, it's different.
I'm sure it's different. It's got songs.
There's people dressed as eggs. Anyway, and it ended with the cast of Hair
right.
doing Let the Sun Shine In, and everyone who's in a Broadway show right now dancing around on stage to the Hair song.
Fun.
Which was fun. It was because, again, it was all these people combining for this one goal, and that's what I got excited about.
Okay.
It was the Justice League of Broadway. However, forget all that. Forget all the theater. Forget everything.
Meanwhile,
there's a show on Broadway called Rock of Ages,
mm-hmm.
which stars Constantine Maroulis of... I didn't win American Idol fame.
When did he get bumped out, though? He got bumped out like sixth. He's not even in the top five.
And the best part is that all the judges always said was, you try to be a rocker, but you're really not. So now he's playing this lead role in this Rock of Ages rocking right. show. And one of the things in this Rock of Ages show is they talk about Bret Michaels and Poison. So the Tonys, the people doing the Tonys, decide that in the opening number they should actually bring out Bret Michaels and Poison. And they will sing... you know, their songs.
Who else was in Poison?
C.C. DeVille.
Oh, nice.
Yes, he was the guitar player. Yeah.
I had no clue.
Actually, he's probably like the guitar player from Motley Crue.
Maybe.
I don't know. Let us know. With all that information we gave you in the first 3 minutes, go back and find it and then let us know.
See, we did music there.
Yeah. We brought some music into the pop culture. Even if it's wrong. So, Bret Michaels comes out and first of all, they lip sync. To their song, which...
Why do it live at a live event?
Why is A, Poison part of the Tonys?
Right.
B, why are they lip-syncing a song they've been singing for probably 20 years?
At least Karma didn't bite him in the ass.
Okay, good. But it did.
Oh, did it?
Yes. Because in Broadway, you have to what's called hit your mark.
Okay.
When you're supposed to move and go somewhere, you have to go there because lighting change, a sound change, a set change might happen around you. This was the case for Poison.
Well, it's not like he had any real experience doing live performing, has he?
Right, right. It's not like he was on Broadway.
All right, he was.
Yes, he was. He was in Jekyll and Hyde. But anyway...
No, wasn't that Sebastian Bach?
Oh, you're right, from Skid Row.
We have no music information.
It's 80s hair bands. They're all the same. Anyway, so this guy, instead of turning around as soon as his song's over and running backwards on stage like they're supposed to, like his two guitar players do...
Right.
This guy stops to pose a little bit for the crowd, do a little chest bump with his hand and wave. Then he turns around to go as this enormous wall... comes flying in from the ceiling, and he goes headfirst right into this thing. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen on television in the last week. At all. Matt's speechless.
I just remember reading, like, on Facebook, people commenting about it, but not knowing.
Yeah.
And then my wife's like, well, just check YouTube. And I'm like, it's not going to be on YouTube. This thing happened, like, an hour and 15 minutes ago.
Bam.
It was on YouTube.
It's even, you can go on YouTube and even find just that section, so you don't even have to watch the rest of the Broadway stuff.
Right.
Then the beauty of it is Stockard Channing, who played Rizzo in Grease on the movie, for all of you who don't know who she is.
Dr. Bartlett on the West Wing.
She was the president, the first lady on
she
the West
Wing. She was the first lady.
She comes out and sings a song, and as she's singing her song, all you see center stage is Bret Michaels' cowboy hat because he got knocked off his head by this set piece. And the best part of the whole thing is the interview with Bret Michaels afterwards, who says, I got knocked out, I opened my eyes, I'm getting helped to my feet by Shrek and a donkey. That was hilarious.
I wish I saw that.
Yes.
I definitely wish I saw that live.
So definitely check it out on YouTube if you haven't seen it yet. The other have you seen it moment was, now have you watched any of Jimmy Fallon's? When he took over for Conan?
I've seen small bits and pieces.
It's not funny.
I like Jimmy Fallon, though. I think he's funny.
He is, but he's doing the same thing that SNL he always got in trouble for, was laughing at all his own jokes.
Well, that's just who he
is. And not being able to keep a straight face ever.
Okay.
But
at least you come to expect that from him.
True. What Fallon has done is he started this petition, and he's trying to do a reunion of the cast of Saved by the Bell. Okay.
Okay.
So far he's got the guy who plays Slater, Mario Lopez,
absolutely.
Has agreed, which, big surprise.
Looking for work.
Okay. And Lark Vuhures, who played Lisa Turtle on the show.
Right.
And it all started with the guy who plays Mr. Belding. I think his name's like Dennis Haskell.
Okay.
It could be actually right. Dennis Haskell. He started all off and said yes.
The first fact of our show comes in about 20 minutes in.
So he comes in... And they bring Mark Paul Gosselaar,
okay.
who played Zach Morris.
Right.
He's still
got a career.
He does. He was in NYPD Blue.
Boo.
He, and he uh, he now has this new show on TNT called Raising the Bar.
Raising the Bar.
Okay. I'd never seen it.
They're really trying to sell the hell out of the DVD, though. Every time you turn on that station, it's always Raising the Bar.
True.
First season on DVD.
So he's doing the publicity rounds for this now.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in, and you wonder what's going to happen, because, of course, Fallon's going to talk to him about the Saved by the Bell reunion.
Right.
And he comes in, and they play the Saved by the Bell theme. The curtains open, and he comes out dressed as Zach Morris. He's got acid washed jeans on that are tight pegged at the ankles. He's got the big Reebok sneakers. He's got on like the really purple and pink shirts, and he's got his thumbs in his pockets as he stands there wearing a wig.
Right.
As Zach Morris, smiling broadly.
Okay.
He sits down in the chair next to Jimmy Fallon, looks right at the camera, and goes, "I'm about to get interviewed by Jimmy Fallon. This is exciting." Just like he did on the TV show.
Okay.
He did the entire interview as Zach Morris.
Right.
And the premise was that he's Zach Morris, who went to Bayside High School.
Right.
Became an actor. And there already was a Zach Morris in SAG, so he chose the name Mark Paul Gosselier.
I don't think yes. That's how you pronounce his last name.
It's close. It's French.
Okay.
And he wears a wig for that TV show.
Right.
Right? So then he did this whole thing. He got a phone call at one point and answered it on a big, ginormous cell phone.
Okay.
He agreed to do the reunion. He called it a class reunion because he was staying in character.
Right.
He got the phone call he got was from Jesse Spano.
Okay.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Who we've seen naked.
Yes, we have.
Okay.
It was disappointing because after about the first 10 minutes, it was pretty boring.
Well, you couldn't follow the plot?
No. Plot.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And
I just assumed.
So they're both in. So now all we're waiting for is Screech, where really, come on, he did celebrity boxing.
He also made his own porno film.
Yeah, but we're not going to talk about that.
I'm just saying.
That we're not going to talk about it.
He just distributed it himself.
And then Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who might be the biggest non-show. She's like, I was in 90210. I don't have time for this.
Right, right.
But then he performed a song, and he performed the song that Zack Attack played on Saved by the Bell. He never once broke character. Never once did they say, okay, now really Mark.
Right.
It was Zach Morris, beginning to end. It's on YouTube. It's hilarious. We actually, if you go to the2cents.com now, we have an interview with Mark Paul that we just put up, and we have a link to the clip to see him as Zach Morris.
Did you guys ask him about this infamous interview? Or
no, because the interview we actually had was about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
So it was before he went on Jimmy Fallon. But,
So you thought it was funny. You thought it was funny.
It was funny. I enjoyed watching it very much.
Excellent.
Yeah. So
probably won't be YouTubing it.
You should. Well, were you not a Saved by the Bell fan?
I don't know that it had fans. I know people watched it, but I didn't think people were really like fans.
Oh,
they're
fanatics. Oh yeah. All right. Anyway, speaking of fans, I have one last thing for you, Matt. As you shot me down on my Zach Morris.
I'm sorry. I just listened to the whole story, and I was desperately trying to care about
it. Well, I have one that you'll be able to expound on.
Okay. And especially because you took shots at Jimmy Fallon at the beginning.
He's awful. Zach Morris, the character Zach Morris, does this thing called timeout, and everything freezes around him, and he turns and talks to the camera.
Right.
He did timeout, and Fallon's giggling in a freeze. He's frozen and giggling because he can't keep the... So, all right.
I didn't mean to get you upset.
I'm moving on.
It must have been very difficult for you
to the last 2 cent topic that we have here.
Okay.
Because we're in the Don Mattingly hour.
Right, we are.
minute number 23. Futurama, they just announced that Futurama is coming back with all new programs.
Yee-hoo!
In the year 2010.
Very nice.
This is a show that you've always loved.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of Futurama.
To me and yelled at me that I don't watch.
Well, I thought it really had such I thought it had a great sense of humor to it. It was so different than a lot of the other things.
Well, it's Matt Groening, right, who did The Simpsons.
But, I mean, it wasn't like The Simpsons, and you kind of had to get into who these characters were. And, you know, it was a little more Seinfeld because they were all pretty despicable in certain ways. But, I'm excited to see it come back. I've watched two of the movies that they've made. They made like...
I just gave Matt the what face because I didn't even know they made movies.
Well, I think when Family Guy got brought back...
Mm-hmm.
The
only show that's really ever successfully done that.
Right, because Futurama hasn't done that yet, and it's coming back to Comedy Central, so the ratings don't have to really be
mm-hmm.
that high.
Which I'm going to interject. It's part of Comedy Central's Adult Swim, which is on it. Oh, no, it's Comedy Central.
Right, not even Cartoon Network.
Not Cartoon Network.
Which, Comedy Central bought it from Cartoon Network, and Cartoon Network, I think, was the ones who brought it back, really.
Well, then Cartoon Network, well, I'm thinking about it, has that Adult Swim where they used to play Futurama all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're showing the BBC Office.
Oh, nice.
As part of Adult Swim starting this fall.
That's very cool.
So last week we talked about The Office, U.S. versus the British and all that. So any of you who haven't seen The British Office, start watching Adult Swim coming up soon.
It's great. Watch either one is what we're saying.
All right, but back to Futurama.
So they made like, I think, 4 movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, when all of this hoopla came around and they thought that maybe there was some viability in bringing it back. And so they made these movies. I saw a couple of the movies. They were all right. It's much better in like 22-minute episodes.
Right.
They have great, if you get a chance... they have great what-if episodes. They're called anthologies of interest, I think is what they're called. And those would be the ones that I think you should watch first. There's a great one where Bender, who's a robot with no conscience, decides he wants to be human. And he just has no control. So he becomes like a 1,500-pound man and eventually kills himself within... eats himself to death, really, within like 7 days. It's really hilarious stuff. So I highly recommend Futurama. I'm glad to see it come back. That's really all I have to say about that. You should watch it. It's going to be on Comedy Central. And you can watch episodes now of Futurama.
And it will be in 2010.
Oh, I feel so
I know, but we'll be able to talk about Lost and Futurama all at the same time.
Yes.
All right. So there you go. There's your 2 cent topics that we're talking about this time.
Well done.
Okay, so last week we talked about the finales of The Office and Lost, specifically. We talked about those in detail, and I think we've really decided that since they are pretty much the only two shows that we both watch and enjoy, that we'll talk a little bit about it each time, if we can.
Yeah, if there's some news that maybe the hardcore people or the anti-hardcore people are looking for, we're going to try to give you that type of information.
So here's a little Office tidbit that we have for you that I found out there. You can also find it, of course, on scrantonbranchoffice.com, a 2 cent corp site.
Oh, yes.
Very good.
What was the site again?
Scrantonbranchoffice.com.
Scrantonbranchoffice.com. Yeah. I'm just going to write that down.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
No problem.
Whew, he's not truthful. So right now we have two of the stars are... in really big movies that are out right now. So John Krasinski is in Away We Go.
Yes.
With Maya Rudolph.
Directed by Sam Mendes.
That's correct.
Who is married to Kate Winslet. I couldn't think of her name for a second.
Wow. But he's been getting good reviews. Now, he's been in a bunch of really, really bad movies.
Right, but this should be a really interesting film.
They say it seems interesting. He doesn't have... It's not like Leatherheads where you're expecting it to be this big blockbuster. He's not doing some stupid romantic comedy.
Which, I watched Leatherheads last week. I kind of enjoyed it.
Did you really?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing, but I like George Clooney. I don't know. I got a little man crush.
I can't stand Zellweger, though.
Okay.
She's got... Open her damn eyes.
I'm just saying, she's squinty.
All right, and then Ed Helms is currently in The Hangover. Which is like becoming the new 40-year-old virgin. Like, it's this comedy that everyone thought, oh, they'd be kind of cute. It's number two. It beat all the movies that are out this week.
I've already had like 6 people come up and recommend it. Go, oh, we saw it. We loved it. You should go see it.
But one tidbit about Ed Helms in it is that he loses his tooth in this movie, and so he does the majority of the posters and everything without a tooth.
Don't ruin it for me.
It's not. It's on the posters. I haven't seen it.
It could be a spoiler.
But Ed Helms really took his tooth out for this movie. It's not makeup. They didn't like digitally remove his tooth. He has fake caps for that tooth. It never grew in, and he took it out. He went to the dentist and had them remove it for this movie.
I think Jim Carrey did the same thing with Dumb and Dumber.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a chipped front tooth, and he took the front tooth out.
And then our friend Angela, who plays Angela.
Not my friend.
Is in
your
a,
friend.
My friend. Is in a Clairol campaign right now. So you can look for her to be on TV. So the other two are in really big movies, and Angela is doing hair commercials.
Right.
John Krasinski, also talking about Jimmy Fallon, did a funny little thing.
You can
find video of it. They have the new thing for Xbox 360, where the system, your body is the controller. So it's like, you know how Wii, you move your body with the controller in
it? Right.
This one, you just move your body. and they're doing racing games and like this big breakout game and stuff, and you have to watch it to really understand it.
I'm feeling like I should sell my PS3.
But it's on Xbox and 360, and John Krasinski was on Fallon, and they both played that together. The Emmy submissions went out, and the people behind The Office submitted everyone involved with that show for an Emmy.
Well, that's nice of them.
But the one that we do like is that they did submit Amy Ryan, who played Holly, as the best guest star. So she hopefully will be up for... Of course, the best guest star always go to people on ER.
No, well, not in comedy. It's going to go to whoever's on 30 Rock.
Oh, that's true, too. You it's going to be like Elaine Stritch.
Absolutely. Oh, please.
Yeah. So anyway.
Spare us.
But Amy Ryan, we wish her the best of luck. They've started these best of moments for the summer. So okay. They have the top five best moments, whatever it is. And so they've had the best top five Michael moments, the top five Dwight moments, the top five moments in webisodes or whatever. And this week they're doing the top five what they call jam moments, which is Jim and Pam.
I don't get it.
Okay, well, stay with me so we can keep going.
I'm looking.
In that direction. Here's their top five that the people voted, and this is the top five Jim and Pam moments.
Oh, you're doing a thing on Jim and Pam.
Yes, Jim and Pam.
I didn't understand.
Number five is this moment where I don't even remember it from the stress release episode of this year that Pam's father was leaving her mother, and she came off the elevator, and Jim said, "Was it something I said that made him leave?" And she said, "Yes, you said that the way you love me more every day you see me or whatever."
Right.
And he never felt that way about his wife.
You don't remember that moment?
I do, but is it a top five moment for me in the history of that relationship?
Oh, it's not just this season. It's
no,
their...
it's the whole relationship.
Oh,
yeah. No,
probably not.
Number four was the proposal in the rain at the gas station.
Okay. I guess it feels like one of those, I have these highlights of my life moments and you check them off as you go through.
Right.
I don't know if it was
that. I just couldn't wait anymore.
Right. Right.
The third one is from the finale when they're in the emergency room crying because the doctor just told them.
Do we just have like memories that are only 2 minutes long?
Number two.
Who made these lists?
The people voted.
These are the people.
Fans went to the website and voted. Number two is...
Ooh, fans.
Number two was when Jim asks Pam out at the end of the job, at the end of season three.
I like that. That was a great...
Hey, Pam, and he interrupts her.
Like that moment.
That was a great moment. That should definitely be a top three
moment. I agree.
And then top one, of course, is Casino Night, when Jim finally tells Pam how he feels.
Right.
And she can't.
I agree with one and two.
And they do video clips of it the whole time. And so what I wanted to talk about for a minute is what other... Jim and Pam moments, do you think? Do you have any off the top of your head real quick?
If we had talked about it before, maybe I could have thought about it. But I know I do. I
have three that I'll submit to you. I have three. One of them is when they have the grilled cheese sandwich on the roof. And they're watching Dwight play with flares. And they did the whole movie. They read Michael Scarn's threat level midnight script.
Yeah, I like that.
And then they walked up to the roof and had themselves a little candlelit dinner.
I just thought of one.
Yeah,
I would say the speech that Pam makes to Jim when they play the
beach day.
Yeah, on beach day.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that was one of your three, but I wanted to usurp you with it.
But that's good.
That for me was one of my top moments with them.
Booze cruise, when they're on top of the booze cruise and he looks at her and there's like these 23 seconds of silence when the whole world was screaming at the television, "Say it."
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
And then there
it's a
was
nice moment.
The phone call, the first time that they talked on the phone after Jim left and went to Stanford. And they call, and he accidentally gets her on the phone, and they talk forever. And then they have mistakes. It was the initiation episode, because it's when Dwight had Ryan out from the beet farm.
Was that the one where Jim was sending him faxes from the future? From future Dwight?
No, I don't think that was it yet. It might have been, but I don't
That's
remember.
Not a Jim and Pam moment, though.
But that's pretty much the office news that we have for today.
Well, I like your moments better than the viewers.
I appreciate that.
I don't know about the last one, but I remember it slightly.
Okay. So there you go. Office news.
Cool. All right. Now for a little bit of Lost news. Obviously, there are people out there better connected than we are, so we're just trying to give you hidden facts. We're just trying to get
talking points.
Exactly. Things that actually had come up, and you could find them on the internet pretty easily. But here's one of them. From TVDuide.com, an article by Matthew Mitovich. Matthew Fox was using words like amazing, incredible, and satisfying very surprising, fairly confusing to describe.
He used satisfying.
He said fairly, he said incredibly satisfying. He absolutely did.
Well, he stole from you. He must have listened to us last week.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to sue him over it. He used those types of words to describe the final season of Lost. You know, he was at like the 49th Monte Carlo Television Festival, and he talked to the crowd a little bit. He said, the season will begin after, you know, obviously the detonation of the Jughead bomb, and that he thought it was very surprising and probably fairly confusing initially to the audience. That's the way he thought those first couple of episodes would be. So for you Lost fans, you
know, it fits right in.
Exactly. Nothing new there. He also said, you know, that the two separate timelines, the one in 1977 and 2007, are going to be solidified into one and will be operating in a more linear time zone to end the season. So he said probably about midway through the season, they're going to mesh the two time zones.
Thank goodness.
He said about the big finish of the show, he said he didn't know what the show's end was going to be. He did know what the final images would be. But he only hinted that there was going to be like this huge final conflict between two sides. I'm not even sure.
Dun, dun, dun.
We could guess what those sides are, but it's Lost. So you got to get your Losty on and go a little
Losty
bit deeper.
On.
He also mentioned that Jack and Locke will become, will come to like a head-to-head battle again. And obviously you have to wonder whether it's the real Locke or the dead Locke or, you know, which Locke is actually
dead Locke.
Or if you need your puns, just turn to Keith. So he said that, you know, there's going to be foretelling of a showdown between Locke or the person who was Locke, him and Locke and Jack Shepard. So
nice.
That's kind of interesting stuff. He also said that, you know, there will be a lot of like narrative threads and loose ends that come together from the Dharma Initiative and the others and Jacob. The seeming epic feud he has with the what people know as Man Number Two. So we're not really sure.
Right,
I think
guy.
It's that guy who was in Deadwood and all these other things. He also said that he felt really confident that the writers will prove that they know that they did know all along where they were heading with it, and that all the pieces will come back into play. He did finish up his comments by saying, "You're not going to please all the people all of the time." So
that's a safe thing to say.
You're always going to have people who are not satisfied. But he was pretty confident, and I guess he was pretty excited. And this is like the first time in a while that someone from the Lost camp has actually come
said
out and
anything.
Said something.
Yeah. Great.
So he spoke at the 49th Monte Carlo Television Festival. And if you want to read more on that article, you just go to tvdied.com. And another bit of Lost news, a little crossover episode coming out this Wednesday. Top Chef Masters is doing a little thing for the producers of Lost. Carlton Cuss and Damon Lindoff. I probably didn't say those names right. But they'll be breaking their postseason finale radio silence on Wednesday. Although probably not in the fashion that you were expecting.
They'll just be saying, this was good.
There are rumors out there that during this episode of Top Chef Masters, they will be sending little clues and hints out to some of the things that are coming up on Lost in the next season.
Really?
They're rumors. So.
Sounds like a commercial for Bravo to me.
It does. So you never really know. I didn't get this information from Bravo, though. I got it from the internets.
Okay.
And you know how the internets never lies.
I do, yes.
So that... These Top Chef contestants will be preparing meals for the producers and using food stuff that one might find on an island, like seafood and tropical fruit and a boar. And
I do enjoy the Top Chef, so Top Chef and Lost together, that's good times.
Bonding together. So if you don't watch Top Chef, but you are a Lost fan, then you want to watch Top Chef this Wednesday at 10, I believe.
All right.
Is when it is. And that should be interesting. There'll certainly be some Losty stuff going on there, and let's see if any rumors kind of come out from.
I'll try to set my DVR. Maybe we'll talk about it next time.
All right. So that's all the Lost news that I have. Not anything really hidden, but some interesting stuff from Matthew Fox.
Pretty much everyone named Matthew.
Yes, they were just Matthew.
Lots of Matthews in that story.
Yes, there were.
And thank you, Matthew.
You're welcome.
Okay, Matt. So last podcast, episode one.
Smooth transition.
Yes, yes. We talked about...
Oh, good Lord.
we asked five questions to the crowd.
Yes.
To the audience. And we got back answers pretty much to one.
Okay, so let's deal with that one question.
So we're going to deal with that one question. Okay. Because I think that will probably fill up the whole rest of our podcast for us today. It's going to lead to a lot of discussion.
I think so.
And the question that everyone answered was that movies that guys need to watch, like it should be a rule book. It should be listed somewhere in the annals of all mandom.
I think it's annals.
No.
It's not?
No. That's a different show.
Oh.
Yeah. Maybe some of these would go in there.
I have been getting that wrong my whole life.
But we got lots of responses back. We actually got some really cool responses. Marcus York, who plays a character in The Office, he plays Billy, the gentleman in the wheelchair who kind of runs the office park.
Right.
He sent us answers to
it. Very nice.
And a good friend of mine, Bobby Ray Schaefer, who plays Bob Vance.
Vance Refrigeration.
I just dropped that name right over there. Maybe I'll pick that up. Bob Vance sent us a bunch of Manly Man movies to add to this list of things. And then we had a lot of our friends.
I just want you to know I got no one from Lost to give us any other.
You keep working on that. You might be able to get like Cop Number 3.
Wasn't Nathan Fillion like Cop Number 3 at one point?
I don't know.
Lost?
Was he?
I think he was.
I don't know.
I think he made out with Kate.
Whedon.
Lucky bastard.
Yeah.
What? Who?
Whedon. Okay, yes. So I got back through all our friends, family, listeners, people in Hollywood. I got this huge list of movies that guys need to watch.
Okay.
First I'm going to do is I'm going to read off very quickly. We won't discuss them all because we'd be here for 3 to 4 hours. All the movies that came in that we really got like one vote for.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to start with one I've never even heard of called With Nail and I.
Yes. It's a great, great little English movie about actors. Richard E. Grant. Very good stuff.
Okay. So that's the only one we're going to talk about. We also got votes for Iron Man, Ghostbusters,
okay,
Enter the Dragon, and Fists of Fury.
You got to see Enter the Dragon, people.
And any of the Rambos.
Rambo 1 is a real movie. Rambo 2 and Rambo 3, it's a joke. But Rambo 1 is a real movie.
Stand By Me.
Okay.
High Noon.
High Noon, good film.
The Jerk.
You gotta see The Jerk. I mean, it's got pizza in a cup.
Tender Memories.
Tender Mercies?
Mercies, that's it.
Okay.
I can't read my own handwriting. Highlander. Only got one
vote. I just never was a Highlander fan. But people love it.
Knight of the Hunter.
I don't know that.
Point Blank, but not Gross Point Blank. However, Gross Point Blank also received a vote.
Well, you gotta like Gross Point Blank.
Yeah.
Point Blank is one of those, like, they nailed it in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those movies that is so over the top that it's something that some people just, it's a guilty pleasure for some people is what I'm saying.
We also have The Unforgiven.
It's a really good film.
The Getaway. Unforgiven. Kentucky Fried Movie.
Which Getaway? I'm assuming just the original.
The Getaway. I'm assuming not the Charlie Sheen one.
No, not that one, but I think there was a remake with Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger.
Oh, God.
Bassinger.
I'm sure that's
I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think they meant the original.
The original, yes. Kentucky Fried Movie, Clerks, Kevin Smith.
I like Kentucky Fried Movie.
Clerks is the only one that actually from Kevin Smith's their grouping that we actually got a vote for. Raising Arizona.
It's a great film.
Strange Brew.
I love Strange Brew growing up. I haven't seen it in over 20 years. I'm sure it doesn't hold up.
Only one vote, eh? Real Genius.
I love Real Genius.
Wild Things.
Ken puts his name on his license plates. My mother does the same with my underwear. She puts license plates in your underwear. How do you sit? You can't beat Real Genius. Thing of popcorn is the climax of the film.
Wild Things is in here.
I think because there's nakedness.
Yeah, Spinal Tap.
Is a great film.
Only one vote. Easy Rider. The Killing Fields.
Yeah.
The Big Easy. Double Indemnity. Green Mile. Annie Hall.
I don't know if it's Annie Hall's a great movie for guys to see, but it is a great film.
300, which they now started playing clips of at Yankee Stadium.
Homoerotic.
The Watchmen, which just came out.
I didn't see
it. It's one of the newer movies that's on there. Gladiator. I can't believe that only got one vote.
I can't believe it won an Oscar is really what I can't believe.
Plan 9 from Outer Space, one of those great old campy awful movies that...
Right.
That everybody
Let me just say
of.
Here, I have a list of should-sees, and I didn't put it on there, but it should really be on there, and Plan 9 from Outer Space makes me think about it. If you have not rented Ed Wood, people, you should be seeing this movie. It is so good.
Can't be.
It's supposed to be.
I know. Rear Window is on this list. The Boondock Saints. Right. Fargo only got one vote.
I had Fargo on one of my lists, but I was trying to choose just one Coen Brothers film.
Right.
And I think I went with The Big Lebowski. All
right.
Even though Hudsucker Proxy is like my favorite of their films.
Silence of the Lambs.
That I took off because I tried to narrow it down, but it's a must-see for guys. It's the best suspense thriller of all time.
The Dark Knight.
Again, are memories that short? Yes, it was a great performance. It's a fun movie, but is it a movie that all men must see?
Well, it was only one vote.
I'm just saying.
Fantasia. Someone voted for Fantasia. Moving on. The Exorcist.
Okay.
The Magnificent Seven.
That's a great, great film. Magnificent Seven should be at the top of any like.
It's got a great theme song.
Yes.
The old Godzilla movies. Predator. Boogie Nights. Predator. American Psycho.
Can't really beat Boogie Nights.
I don't know if anyone should ever watch American Psycho.
I read the book. I've never read a book faster because I had to get to the end of it. It was really it was really troubling. It was a troubling read.
Mel Brooks's version of The Producers, the original, not the movie of the musical of the movie.
A great film, and I love it so much more than the musical, but I can't put that on the list of movies that all men should see.
Platoon.
Great film.
Clockwork Orange.
Okay. Yep.
Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, I have that
Death
on my list.
Witch. Wish?
Death Witch.
Death Witch. The Wrath of Khan only received one vote.
Khan!
Raging Bull.
It's a great film.
Only one.
It's, well, what if I put it on my list? No, that's two.
Johnny Dangerously.
Okay.
Slapshot.
Let's watch Johnny Dangerously again and see if it really holds
up. Let's not.
All right.
Slapshot only got one vote, man.
It's a, well, you know.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
People don't understand hockey, and I can't.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High only got one vote.
If you're not a prepubescent teenager. Let me start again. if you're a kid, a teenager, and you're not seeing a lot of rated R movies, this is the one that you should see.
How to Murder Your Wife.
What?
I don't know. We got some classics. Lawrence of Arabia.
British.
Patton.
Romania. Do you say that every time? When you hear a line from We Didn't Start the Fire, do you go through the whole?
No, I don't, because that's my least favorite Billy Joel song. All right.
Patton.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yes, I like Patton.
Silverado, another Western with a great theme song. Chinatown only got one vote.
See,
Bridge on the River Kwai.
That would be on my list, too.
MASH.
I'm a MASH movie guy. I never liked the series. To me, it's Donald Sutherland and Elliot Gould. Those are the guys who make up MASH to me. And Tom Skerritt. I just never liked it.
And Robert Duvall.
And Robert Duvall, absolutely.
I said Chinatown. The Bridge on the River Kwai. Dialogue 17.
It's a really good movie. I've actually seen it.
The Great Escape.
Yes.
Spartacus.
It's got to be on a list. Spartacus.
Ben-Hur. Saving Private Ryan.
I feel like I love Saving Private Ryan. Let me speak. Words. You're going too fast for me. My brain and mouth can't keep up.
Words.
I just feel like it's a quick fix for, oh, you've got to see this movie, where the movie itself isn't as good as the beginning of the movie.
Right.
If you want to watch real World War II great storytelling, you got to watch Band of Brothers as opposed to Saving
Private
Ryan.
There we go. That's two in a row we've mentioned it. So it's become the official miniseries of the Culture Popcast.
It should be because obviously maybe without Saving Private Ryan, we don't get Band of Brothers, but Band of Brothers is the way to go.
Dead Poets Society.
I loved it as a kid, but I was like a sensitive kid, and I don't know that it's manly in any
Braveheart.
Way.
Braveheart.
I loved Braveheart. But
I Am
I think
Third.
It's a...
You ever hear of I Am Third?
No.
Dirty Harry. Those Dirty Harry movies.
I understand.
I don't think there's
manly,
ever one called Dirty Harry, actually. Brand new movie called Taken.
I guess.
With Liam Neeson.
Leslie Nielsen is not in that film.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
I guess he kicks a lot of ass.
Yeah, that's good. Goodwill Hunting made the list.
Well, you know, it's not your fault.
V for Vendetta.
It's not your fault.
Semi-Tough.
It's not your fault.
Diner.
It's not your fault.
Oh, stop it now.
I love Diner. I think I thought of it during when I was writing my list, and I would have put Diner on it. Diner's a great film.
Blade Runner.
No.
I got one vote for pretty much anything Judd Apatow has done.
All right. How long is our memories? People?
One of them will make it in there. Porky's. I can't believe it only got one vote.
I know it is.
All guys should watch. We did get a vote for The Wizard of Oz. Because it was the, you know,
I didn't say anything discouraging.
Lethal Weapon movies. We got to vote.
I don't think you can get past Lethal Weapon. You can't get past the second one. The second one was good and intense.
Yeah.
And then the third one just became a joke.
Okay. And then Showgirls. And then we also got to vote for just porn.
Just porn in general.
Yes. All guys should have to see porn.
Obviously, there's no plot.
Yeah. So those are the ones that got one vote.
Okay.
So before I go into our top vote getters,
right,
Matthew,
uh-huh,
what is your list? Let's discuss.
What is my list?
And then I'll go through my list and we'll see if you match anywhere.
Okay. Probably not.
Okay.
There were some things on that list, definitely like Diner, I would put up there. But the list that I kind of compiled, you know, like my favorite, what I think all men should see in terms of Monty Python, a lot of people would say Holy Grail.
Mm.
For me, it's Life of Brian. I think that's the funniest one. I just think it's got the best through line. Like, you got to have a Bogart movie in there. So I put Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Mm-hmm.
A great, great film about, like, dealing with greed. My favorite mob movie, I would put Goodfellas. You got to see Goodfellas. It's got everything. A lot of people put The Godfather, Godfather 2. They're great films. For me, it's Goodfellas. I just think it's too well-rounded. Nicholson, you have to have a Nicholson film in there. It's got to be Cuckoo's Nest.
Right.
You know, it's got the greatest cast of characters.
Cuckoo's Nest did not make our list.
It's ridiculous.
Didn't even get one vote.
People, you should be watching Cuckoo's Nest, especially for Danny DeVito.
Best picture in 1975.
Do we even know what it beat out?
No.
That deserved it. Absolutely deserved it. You have to have a buddy film because, you know, you don't have any of these modern action films without a buddy film. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Of course.
I'm sorry, that's where it started.
Did not get one vote.
I also put, you know, not my favorite Spielberg movie, but the one you everybody should see, the man movie, Jaws. It's got to be Jaws.
Short. Where they always say that John Williams turned two notes into the most terrifying sound of all time.
Exactly. I mean, who of us hasn't gone into, like, deep water and, like, almost pooped our pants?
Yeah.
For me, Kubrick, it was Clockwork Orange, because I get to put my Vietnam film, which would be Full Metal Jacket.
Okay, so that would have been two votes. We would have bumped that up.
Right. Coen Brothers have put The Big Lebowski. You have to see The Big Lebowski.
Only vote for Big Lebowski. Can you believe it?
Obviously, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
Is the one you must see if you only have one to see.
Yeah.
Comedies, Airplane, and A Fish Called Wanda. Again, my list wasn't small. I tried to make it small, but I couldn't. A must-see for all men is Fight Club. You have to see Fight Club.
Well, but you don't talk about it.
Right, so.
Yeah.
The Shining, Pulp Fiction.
Scare the crap out of me, that movie.
Yeah, I saw it when I was a little kid, too.
Me, too. I saw it at a birthday party.
Oh, it was awful. Scatman Crothers gets an axe to the chest.
No, let's move on. It's late, and I have to sleep tonight, so let's move on.
So, and Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction has to be on your list
the
of must-sees.
The first rebirth of John Travolta.
Yes.
The first of many.
Yeah. And I mean, Reservoir Dogs, I literally applauded when Mr. Blonde got shot. But for me, Pulp Fiction is a real, like, masterpiece. And then, you know, you got to put Die Hard in there.
Die Hard!
Right. As the original, like.
Okay.
One of those. And then I have a list of should-sees and stuff like that. But those are my list of things that you have to see.
Those are your must list. All right. So we're going to go in. So these following movies, they tied for eighth place. So we're not going to go into too much detail about these movies either.
I will try to control myself.
We'll go a little one off. Because the first one I mentioned, I bet you're going to have something to say.
Okay.
The Lord of the Rings movies.
The Lord of the Rings movies made me so, so angry with George Lucas. Because it was the perfect mix of great storytelling and how Frodo continued to struggle with the power of the ring, which is exactly what we wanted Anakin.
Yeah.
We wanted to see Anakin go through any of that, and we saw none of it.
My precious.
And then the way he took his CGI and he used it with real backgrounds and things like that, they're real masterpieces.
Instead of
and,
cartoon characters.
Yeah, it made me so angry with George Lucas after I saw any of those.
He'll get over it, I think.
And to start a movie off with Gandalf falling with the Balrog in the Two Towers. I mean, to start it off that way.
Balrog.
What did I say?
I don't know. I never heard that name before.
It was an amazing beginning to a movie. It was an amazing beginning.
You shall not pass!
Yeah, it all worked.
Yeah.
So I think even people who don't like that type of film,
okay,
enjoy them emotionally. So.
The Rockies came in at eighth place also.
All of them?
Well, variations of. People said Rocky
number,
one.
Number four one and walk four. Away.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Superman. I'm kidding. Superman 1 and 2.
Superman 2, I'll give you.
Yeah.
Although Superman 1, I guess, was pretty groundbreaking and all that.
To Kill a Mockingbird. A Fish Called Wanda, which you mentioned earlier.
One of the great comedies of all time.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I would give you Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. That's it. Okay. Excellent Adventure, boo.
The
Bogus
Three Amigos. Journey, funny. And I did not vote, so this was not me putting it over the edge.
I'm just saying.
It's the overrated. Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers is a good film.
Terminator.
Okay.
Top Gun.
Okay.
The Searchers.
I don't know.
Old
the Searchers.
Classic movie.
Okay.
Major League.
Eh.
A Christmas Story.
Once a year, it's great.
I watch it for 24 hours on
yes.
TNT. Scarface.
A must-see, though. Scarface you could put in there as a must-see, especially if you want to become a
the
rapper.
Usual Suspects.
I love The Usual Suspects. I'm so glad I saw it in like an art house theater and, yeah. and got to experience that.
I love
and I put
it,
that
I
up
it.
There with a movie like Memento.
Yeah.
Those are two of the greatest like modern film noir films because it's hard to do noir.
Right.
And I would also put the movie Brick in that category, which Keith refuses to watch.
He lent me the DVD like 3 years ago, and it's covered in dust on top
Rent
of the television.
Brick. It's so good.
All right. The Shining, which we mentioned.
Yes.
The 1989 Batman got enough votes to get it up to eighth place.
All right.
Spaceballs. Jaws.
Spaceballs stops being funny halfway through that film.
It's true.
It's weird. Mel Brooks stopped being funny.
He forgot.
It's like a death. For Mel Brooks.
Prepare to fast forward.
Yeah, you're done. And you know, the only good thing about Spaceballs is Rick Moranis.
He's hilarious.
He's the best thing. I want to see a Rick Moranis, what was his name?
Darth Helmet.
That's the only thing I want to say.
Jaws, which we already talked about.
Yes,
Office Space, which we talked about last week. That's not your kind of comedy, but people love it. The Aliens movies.
Yeah, Alien 2 is like horrifying.
Princess Bride.
Yeah, Princess Bride is a great film, but it's not like a must-see for men.
Bogart,
doing sensitive
Bogart
training.
Movies. So the Maltese Falcon, yeah.
I think you've got to be more specific than that.
Sure.
Maltese Falcon, good, you know. African Queen, good. Treasure of Sierra Madre, down, dirty.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No.
These are a list of movies
Apocalypse,
that Keith should see.
Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, it should be on the list.
And A Few Good Men.
I love A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
I love Sorkin. I think it's great. I saw it on Broadway. I was lucky enough to experience it like that. I don't know if you put it on a list of must-see movies for men.
Well, those are just eighth place. So now,
still going to comment.
Yeah, absolutely. So seventh place. Enough votes to go into seventh place. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot one in eighth place. I'm going back to. It was Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park made it in eighth place. And one of the people who submitted Jurassic Park for eighth place wrote, if you don't like dinosaurs, you're not really a man.
If you don't like dinosaurs, you're not really a man.
And it's true. Every little boy grows up enjoying dinosaurs.
I love this film.
Yeah.
I love the music. I love everything about it. I love the story by Crichton. I don't know if you put it on a must-see.
Well,
a must-see list.
It's only the eighth most important must-see.
And I like dinosaurs. All right,
there
buddy?
You go. You're a man. Number seven.
Thank you.
Goonies. Seventh place. Goonies.
And the Goonies is a great film, but...
Shawshank Redemption.
I just want you to know that it's their time up there, but it's our time
down here. Yes, Shawshank.
Yeah, Shawshank.
I can't believe it didn't get
film.
Higher. Schindler's List. I was kind of blown away the first time I read Schindler's List and someone's response, and then when I saw it continuously enough to get it to seventh place, I was kind of shocked.
I would. All right. So I grew up Jewish, and there's like a certain connection to all of that. And learned a lot about the Holocaust around our folk history. I think it's a must-see movie, but the reason I think it's a must-see movie is because of Ralph Fiennes' performance. He's so frightening in that movie.
Yeah.
That's why I think people should see it.
Any of the James
all
Bonds...
All that to learn about.
Yeah,
Schindler.
Yeah, yeah. And the James Bonds movies. We had different votes for different ones. I kind of combined them all in to watch a James Bond movie. Dr. No and all those.
Goldfinger was my favorite.
Hoosiers.
Well, you know, God bless you.
Fight Club.
Yep.
Made it to number seven. North by Northwest. Got a good number of votes.
It's a great film.
And Cool Hand Luke is a very guy movie.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And then Breakfast Club was the last one that made it to 7 points. And we got a funny comment from Breakfast Club, too. If you can't quote the club, you suck. That was the line that came with it.
Well, obviously, a well-written quote.
Yeah, I like it. It made me laugh. We appreciate any kind of thing. All right, so going in. So here's the movies. Now we're getting to small lists.
All right.
That came in at sixth place.
Okay.
Enough votes. The Die Hard movies.
It's not true, though.
Most people wrote the Die Hards.
It's not true. Number one, must see. And I like number four. What was number four? The new one? Free and Die Hard?
Most people said forget number four.
Yeah, they're silly.
Yeah, okay.
That one was like the best one since one, I think.
Blazing Saddles came in at six.
The worst ending of any movie of all time. The worst ending.
Animal House.
Yes.
Okay, good. Bull Durham, which we discussed last week.
Yeah.
And The Natural, which we also discussed last week.
Natural, probably the most sensitive on the must-watch list.
But just because you're a man doesn't mean you can't be sensitive.
Easy.
Just saying.
Should I get you a tissue?
Okay. Number five. Coming in at the number five spot.
Number five.
Rudy, which we discussed enough last week.
Another sensitive film.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. It's a great, great first film.
The movie that started this entire discussion, Caddyshack.
Yep. You got to see Caddyshack.
You have to. Back to the Future, specifically the first one, and the rest if you have time.
Yeah. First of all, you can't watch three. It's unwatchable. Three is unwatchable.
Yeehaw.
Two has got a lot of, like, if you like Back to the Future and the Back to the Future world, it's got a lot of, like, cool Back to the Future
in
crap.
Jokes. Yeah.
But the first one's fun, but a must-see guy list? I don't know.
Goodfellas.
Yes.
Which you mentioned. And I have a funny Goodfellas story. So,
okay.
So my friend DJ Robbie K.
Right.
Forced me to watch Goodfellas. He gave me the DVD. Now, this is an old DVD.
Right.
I put it in, and about 10 minutes later, they kill off Joe Pesci's character. And I'm like, what the heck is this? I thought this was his big movie. I thought this was Pesci's huge movie, and you know he has this big part in it. What the hell? Yeah, I put in side B of the DVD. So I ended up watching Goodfellas 1.5 times.
Wow.
The first time.
Wow.
It's still good.
Yeah, it still worked, didn't it? Yeah,
but I thought they didn't progress the characters enough.
Right.
I didn't understand why it was so short.
He gets an Oscar nod for about 8 minutes worth of work, like Judi Dench.
And then I found out that there's such a thing as a two-sided DVD.
Who knew?
And Field of Dreams is the last one at the number five spot,
okay.
Which we talked plenty about
last
time. So now we're going into the top four.
So that made it higher than Bull Durham. So the people are saying that they
That's
like Field
answer.
Of Dreams.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. All the following were on at least half of all the entries that we got. So this is these are all pretty important. So pretty much if you're sitting down and making a list of what you need to watch, here we go.
Okay.
These are the ones that come up. So number four, and there's only one in each of these. So number four, the number four most movie that was on the votes, Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Which you mentioned.
Yeah, I did.
It introduced us, the majority of the world, to Tarantino, because not everyone saw Reservoir Dogs,
right.
But everybody saw Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Because it had Bruce Willis, it had John Travolta, it had Samuel L. Jackson, it had Harvey Keitel, it had all these guys, you know, people in it. And it was just so different.
Yeah, it was like non-linear storytelling, which we're so used to. So to see someone mess up with to mess the timeline up a little bit and still be able to tell a full story, you know, it was very...
And no one dances anymore without putting the little V's over your eyes like Travolta and Uma Thurman did.
Yeah. For me, probably the least enjoyable part of that movie was the
dancing. But yet one of the most iconic moments of that movie.
Yes. And I think Tarantino said himself he's not going to have John Travolta in a movie and not have him dance. So.
well, he did. That's for sure. And that's the number four most popular movie.
Okay.
Number three.
Well done, people.
Yeah. Number three. And this was a smattering of... All of them combined, the Star Wars movies, the original trilogy. Every single vote for the Star Wars movies was to ignore the new ones and watch the old ones.
You have to.
And if people did specify one, they specified Empire.
Like, of course.
Like you did before.
People, you're smart.
Which is funny.
And handsome.
Think about this. The whole movie, the whole premise of the first of Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, is good versus evil.
Yeah.
And good ends up winning at the end.
Uh-huh.
In Empire Strikes Back, evil wins at the end. What movie ends with evil winning? That's genius. And that ends up being the one that we all like the most. It also has one of the biggest plot twists of all time.
Right.
Which I won't say because, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this movie.
Right. People, come on. But, it, you know, it was written by Lawrence Kasdan.
Yep.
You know, so it didn't have Lucas actually writing the script, but just kind of fostering the story along. I always like the middle bit of a story. You know? It's really well done.
And the third one had Muppets.
It did. I guess he originally wanted to have a Wookiee planet, but... That didn't work out.
But it was because he wanted it to be a simple race that ended up defeating the Empire.
Yeah.
And Chewbacca had proven to be so not simple.
Right. I guess it's where he started to get even more political. But instead of watching that part of Jedi, just like rent American Graffiti or something.
And then coming in at number two.
Number two.
The Indiana Jones movies. And everyone said, but the fourth one. Don't watch the new one.
Raiders of the Lost Ark to me is a great film that stands by itself. And then the third one, Crusade, is a fun movie with Sean Connery.
Yeah.
But Raiders is really like the one.
If anyone specified it out, and the majority of people just wrote any of the Indiana Jones movies.
Right.
If anyone specified anything out, it was Raiders.
Yeah. Bad Dates.
Number two. You know,
okay.
It's being watched by high men. Men in high places. What is it?
What?
When they put the Ark away and it's in that warehouse.
Oh, right, right.
There's that line about it's being watched by top men. Top men. And then they used it in Family Guy twice.
Oh, did they?
Every time they get rid of James Woods, right, they put him in the thing. And then...
that's appropriate.
Number one, by a landslide, number one was on nearly three quarters of all votes.
Okay.
Was The Godfather.
Yeah, people Most
of them
Godfather.
Also contain The Godfather 2.
Yes.
A handful of them said, go ahead and watch all three. And a handful also said, please don't watch number three.
Right.
When Sophia ruined her dad's creation.
Right. With her acting.
No. You had Goodfellas instead of The Godfather.
Yes. But my sister would have put The Godfather.
Okay.
You know? I think it's just a matter of taste. I don't know. I think I like The Godfather 2 better than Godfather 1.
Huh.
But I just like Goodfellas for some reason. That's just me.
There's more comedy in Goodfellas, that's for sure.
Yeah, and
am I funny?
I think
I'm funny. How? I'm not gonna do it.
I guess for me, I think there was so much. I didn't watch it till I was older, and there was so much hype behind it that I think I probably it was hard to live up to the hype. But amazing to me to think that Marlon Brando. That the studio didn't want to cast Marlon Brando.
But he got nominated over, what's his face?
Who?
Michael Corleone.
Right, right. Al Pacino.
Yeah. He got nominated over Pacino as best actor when really he was in a supporting actor
right,
in place.
Right. But he was also Marlon Brando and he was, you know, putting his A-game together.
That's me talking as Marlon Brando.
That's you.
That's me doing my Brando.
Right.
I couldn't yell Stella. That would make the list.
Right.
So,
because if Tennessee Williams is on a list of all men.
So that's the list that we have of our Manly Man movies.
Okay.
All right. So we talked about, we heard from the people. We thank the people.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much for participating.
What we're asking you now is, what if we take away the man part of it?
Yeah. And here's for me, too. Forget about the testosterone part, but what are your should-sees? Like your taste, what should be the movies? And I couldn't walk away from doing a list like this without saying these are movies I think you should see. And at the top of my list, we go back to this movie Brick, which I highly recommend people see. If you haven't seen the movie Network, you got to go see Network.
Are you mad as hell?
And I'm not going to take it anymore.
Okay.
Shaun of the Dead. I think is a masterful.
You forced me to watch that movie.
I did.
I love it.
We did a double feature where I made him watch Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead.
Thankfully.
And I just think it's the greatest zombie film. It's not even a zombie film. It's a love story with zombies in it. In terms of like Alfred Hitchcock classic movies, the movie Rope with Jimmy Stewart is a great film. You got to see that. The movie Being There, the movie Touch of Evil. Earlier I mentioned The Hot Soccer Proxy is my favorite Coen Brothers film. Shakespeare in Love, I think, is the perfect... It's probably one of my favorite films of all time, but it's not like a manly man film.
Right.
It's probably the best telling of Romeo and Juliet of all time.
But thank goodness you actually got to mention Shakespeare again.
I did, and I'm going to follow it up with Henry V. Kenneth Branagh as Henry V is so well put together. So see that.
Is there a speech in that at all?
Is there any? There is. There's a speech about Rice Krispies.
Oh, okay. The Rice Krispies yes. speech. Right.
Miller's Crossing by the Coen Brothers is the least like known of their films, but it's a little mob movie they do, a little Irish mob movie called Miller's Crossing. It's great. A comedy called The Tall Guy with Jeff Goldblum and Emma Thompson, I think is very funny, and there's a little nudity. And then I end off the two films, the two Albert Brooks films, and I just find them to be hysterical. No, not The In-Laws.
Finding Nemo?
No, it wasn't Finding Nemo.
Simpsons movie.
It wasn't the Simpsons movie.
Okay.
I would say Broadcast News, first of all. Great film. And then Defending Your Life. Those are two must-sees. So that's my must-see list, or should-see. So what is your should-see list of films? If you had to tell people to see movies, didn't matter what kind of film they were, yeah. What would you tell people to see?
We want to know.
Yeah, we do.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Or at least Matt and Keith want to know.
And we're going to ask you a new question. So this is a new question also that we'll delve into in the next podcast. You have someone and you need to show them a season of a television show, any television show, because this made me think of it when we were talking about MASH. And there's a lot of people who love this TV show MASH, and you were saying that not so much.
Right.
And like, for instance, one of the middle seasons of MASH were very good for me. I can't watch the first seasons.
Right.
And I the last season drives me nuts because it got all preachy and weird.
Right.
But there's middle seasons. Mm-hmm. So, and we've talked about the Christmas special of the BBC Office.
Right.
Being something you need to watch.
Right.
So what you, the listeners.
Seasons 2 and 3 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And there we've mentioned Buffy and Shakespeare. Ladies and gentlemen. Wait, we haven't mentioned.
Thank you, good night.
And I have a feeling that we'll probably mention Sports Night in this list. Because we need to mention Sports Night in every single podcast that we do. So let us know. Go to the website culturepopcast.wordpress.com. Submit your answers to us either via email or via comment right there on the website, and we'll go from there. So there's our movies, Matt.
Nice. Amen. So thank you for listening to episode 2 of Culture Podcast with Keith and Matt.
Yes, thank you very, very much, especially if you made it to this point in the podcast.
I mean, we're supposed to give you the date at the beginning. Which I guess now is good. I think we're going to give you the date at the end. It's June something or other.
I believe that today is the 14th.
The 14th.
Yes.
The Yankees romped the Mets.
They killed them.
Right.
For real. It wasn't like an error that they dropped or something.
No.
But we dropped the ball by not saying the date at the beginning.
Nice.
We could edit it and put it back in, but let's face it, folks. You don't want that, and we don't want to do the work.
There's no editing going on here.
No, none at all.
So as we leave you, I guess we'll leave you with the words.
I want you all to remember that with great strength comes great responsibility.
And I just want you all to know that wouldn't this be a great world if insecurity and desperation made us more attractive? If needy were a turn on?
All right, later.
Cheers.